Chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. And we've gone to the Lord in prayer. We're going to pray again in just a minute. But I'll give you a minute to turn there. Isaiah chapter 40. I had every intention of shaving today. But I'll tell you, it's hard to, and it's 20 degrees outside. And so Kim gave me permission to wait till it warms up, and I got a haircut. So I'm going to get a haircut this week. And Jay, I'm about self-conscious about it, but it's just really hard to shave my face, and it's freezing outside. And so I'd been waiting till deer season is over, so it's over on the first. So I'll shave up and look a little more presentable, maybe. but I told Kim, I said, boy, it's hard to shave and it's so cold. And she said, well, don't worry about it. Just get a haircut and shave all at the same time. I said, well, I'll get up and blame it on you. And so that's my excuse. But anyway, Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. You know, usually on Fifth Sunday, of course, it didn't work out this Sunday, but we'll let the young people, we'll ask them to take part of the service and maybe have a young preacher preach or a message along the lines directed towards or try to be helpful to the young people. And so I guess this would qualify, but I believe it'll help all of us this morning. But what I want to preach out of, I woke up one day this week and I just had this passage of scripture on my mind. And it's a very, very popular or well-known passage of scripture out of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28. We'll start there and read down through verse number 31. Verse number 31, probably most everybody knows it and maybe even has it memorized. But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 28, it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Boy, I like that, because I get faint sometimes, and I get weary sometimes. But you know, the Lord never does. And He's who our strength comes from anyway. So He never gets tired, and He never flakes out like we do sometimes. He's solid and consistent and eternal. It says, there is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I like that scripture. Let's pray. Father, we come today and just want to thank You, Lord, that we have the weather today that we do, that we could come out to the house of the Lord and worship together. Lord, we're thankful for the warming power of the sun, that even, Lord, when it's freezing outside, God, your power is evident all round about us. And God, we is able to come out today to Thy house. I'm thankful, Lord, for letting us come safely to church this morning. Everybody that ventured out, Lord, I pray You keep us safe when we go home in a little while. But Lord, we do thank You for this time to come together. And Lord, I pray for Your help. Lord, I pray You'd speak to our hearts this last Sunday of 2012. As we come to worship together, Lord, I pray we would worship. Lord, I pray we'd give You glory and honor and power. It's all due unto Your name. And Lord, I pray You'd speak to our hearts from the Word of God today. I pray You'd help all of us today. Lord, especially those that need it the most, whether they're young people or middle age or older, Lord, it doesn't matter. Lord, we realize Your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we come asking, God, You'd help us from the word of God today. I pray You'd give liberty and power and freedom. And Lord, just maybe get something good from the Word of God that will help us, Lord, in this coming new year. And Father, as we come today, I pray and I ask, Lord, that you'd be with all these objects that's been mentioned. Lord, you know each and every one. We pray for the Warren family. God, as they're having a funeral later on this afternoon, and God, just be with them in a special way. And Lord, we ask you'd be with Ethan, Lord, and Jennifer and Stephen and Jackson. Lord, we pray for Brother Ivy. We pray for Sister Ella May and her sister Genevieve. Lord, we pray for Brother Maston. Lord, we pray for all those that would like to be here that can't. But Lord, we pray that you just bless and help today as only you can. Make it easy. Speak to our hearts from the Word of God, and we'll thank you for all you do. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. While I'm thinking about it, I just want to mention before I start that Preacher Mark Hodges had surgery. He's our missionary, one of our missionaries in there in the state of Oklahoma. But he had neck surgery, and it went well, and he got to go home yesterday. But I didn't talk to him. I text back and forth a little bit, but he said he appreciated our prayers. So let's continue to remember Preacher Mark. And I really pray that God could give him some relief, because he has really suffered down through the years with migraines, and I mean, it puts him in the bed, makes him so sick. So let's pray for him, and he asked the church to pray too, so I wanted to mention that. But let's read verses 30 and 31 again, and getting started this morning, you just pray that the Lord would help us and speak to our hearts. The Bible said, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And over the years, I've preached a lot of messages on the eagle, and I like to study the eagle. I like to preach about the eagle. There's a lot of comparisons between the Christian life and the eagle. And I've preached a lot of messages on the subject of the eagle, but I've not preached all the messages. There's still things about the eagle that I've learned and studied about and never really had the liberty to preach on that. But today I want to bring out some things about the young eagle. And that's what I would title the message this morning, The Young Eagle. And you notice here in verses 30 and 31, verse number 30 is talking about the youths. But verse number 31, it talks about the eagle. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. But in verse number 30, there's something interesting there. It's talking about in verse number 29 about he giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increases strength. But in verse number 30, it says, even the youths. Now, we might think about as we get older, we lose strength, we faint, we're not as strong as we were once upon a time. You know, I can even experience that in my own life. I'm not as strong as I was once upon a time. I'm getting older. I've noticed that even potato chip bags are harder to open up than they used to be. I don't know what they're doing to these things, but once upon a time, I could just pick one up and just rip it apart up at the top. And now, I don't know. They're making them out of titanium or something, but you just might as well get a pair of scissors. But I'm just not as strong as I was once upon a time. Totally helpless, and I praise the Lord for that. But here in the Word of God, it says, even the youths, the Bible says, this is not just talking about, as we get older, but even the youths shall faint, the Bible says, and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now, youth is a wonderful thing, being young, and a lot of people, they say, oh, what I'd give to be young again. Well, I don't agree with that. I'll just take what I've got from here on out. A lot of people, though, they say, oh, wouldn't you like to be back in high school? Not me. Wouldn't you like to be 16 again? Not me. Because I've been there and done that, and I realize that's not an easy time period of life. That's sometimes, as I look back, some of the harder time period of my life. Of course, I wasn't where I should have been with the Lord, but youth is a wonderful thing. It's wonderful to be young and have your strength and have energy. And, you know, young people sometimes, and I even, when I was younger, I felt like that I was invincible. You know, youth and strength and vibrancy and all energy and all that. Boy, you just feel like there's nothing in the world can take you down. That's one of the things of being young and strong and all of those things goes along with youth when we think about youth. But you might feel invincible, but actually youth is a very dangerous time period of one's life. To be young is a very dangerous thing. And there's a lot of dangers that are associated with it. Now, there are three times in an eagle's life of increased danger. It is very dangerous when an eagle is a fledgling. And I'm not going to preach on all this in depth this morning, but I'll just say when an eagle is a fledgling, a baby eagle, a lot of times, and I have preached on this here at the church, scientists, they don't even understand it, but they call it the Cain and Abel syndrome. And if a mama and daddy eagle have two eagles, a lot of times the youngest or one of those baby eagles will kill the other one. And so it's a very dangerous time in their lives when they are just newly hatched. And maybe you've seen pictures of them little eagles, and you know, they're one of the few creatures that start out just ugly as sin, and they get beautiful the older that they get. A lot of creatures, they start out cute as can be, and they get ugly as a mud fence. But eagles opposite from that, they start out ugly, and they get beautiful. Now, an eagle is a type of a Christian. And there's a lot of things you could say about that when we're baby Christians. And we've just maybe not been saved very long. And, you know, like Brother Don last week, he was preaching about being a young Christian and didn't know nothing about the Lord and went out on a visit with his pastor. And you remember him last week talking about asking that fellow if he could bum a cigarette off of him. You know, that just, I've laughed about that several times this week. But young Christians, it's a lot of young Christians, you know, they get messed up, they get hurt young, and they never develop, they never grow in the grace and in the knowledge, or maybe they're stunted in their growth for years and years because something happened when they were a young Christian, and they didn't know how to handle it, they didn't know how to feed themselves in the Lord. So it's a dangerous time period, but that's not what I'm preaching on this morning. But then there's the juvenile time period, or the time of an eagle's youth is a very dangerous time. And I'll get to that. But the third dangerous time in an eagle's life is when it is an adult. And just about every eagle goes through a time called the moping period. And scientists don't understand it, but they will just go through a time period in their life where they stop flying. They just mope around. They will go down on the forest floor, down in the wilderness, and they'll walk around like a turkey or a chicken or something like that. And if they don't get meat and strength and get back on the rock, they'll die. You ever gone through a time period like that? You didn't know what was wrong with you, but you just got down. You just lost your joy. You just didn't. I mean, you couldn't explain it. Maybe nothing in particular brought it about, but you just went through a time of, you know, call it what you want to. Call it depression. Call it getting down and out. I don't know, but there's times when we go through periods in our lives that we're moping just like the eagle does. And if you don't get food and you don't get back to the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and get back on high, you might die in that state. Well, thank God He's able to bring us out of even the lowest states of our life. Like the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. You'll go through some valleys in this life. And so there's a lot of comparisons between the eagle and the Christian's life. But I want to look today at the juvenile or the young eagle and compare that with this time period in our lives that most of us will go through or have gone through. And there's three things I want to tell you about the young eagle today. Number one, there's the deception of the young eagle. The deception of the young eagle. Now, a young eagle, a young person sometimes feels like they're invincible. That nothing can bring them down. Nothing can affect them and their youth and their strength and all these things. But now the Bible says even the youths. Even, verse number 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You may be strong, but it doesn't mean that you're invincible. But there's the deception of the young eagle. Now, the difference between the fledgling eagle and the young eagle is that the juvenile, and that's what I'm going to call the young eagle, that's what the scientists call it when it's in this time period of its life, but that juvenile has shed its soft, fuzzy, lounging around in the nest all day, laying around, mom and dad bringing it food and feeding it and everything. And that's what it does for a long time in its young life. But it sheds those downy feathers and it gets itself, it grows itself a pair or a set of real flying feathers. And it looks just like an adult eagle. That young eagle looks just like, in fact, it is very hard to tell an old eagle from a young eagle. It has feathers just like, it has claws, it has beak, all of these things just like an older eagle. It begins to look like an adult mature eagle. It acts more like a mature adult eagle than it ever has in its life before. And so this is the time period that we're talking about. It looks like a mature eagle, but that's where it ends. It just looks like an adult mature eagle. It's sort of like we see our children grow up, and I'm telling you, it really doesn't take long for children to grow up. When I came here a few years ago, almost nine years ago now, the young people that are 20 now, they were what, 10, 11 years old? Those of you that are 14, 15, why, you're just above a toddler when I come. Look how fast time flies. We all know how that is. We look at young people and we say, my, look how they're growing up. They're growing up so quickly. They get to that place of being a young adult. That's actually a very dangerous time period in a young person's life. But children, they grow up quickly. They become more responsible. They begin driving. I cannot believe that I'm getting ready to have another child getting ready to drive. Abigail's going to be 16 in February. She's been talking to me about a car. I said, you don't need a car. We got cars all over the drive. We don't have enough place to park. You don't need a car. Boy, I'm trying to get out of that every way that I can. She said, and you know, I said, you don't need to go nowhere. You don't need, you know what I, boy, that's hard for me as a parent, but they're going to grow up. All of our children, all of our young people, they are going to grow up and begin driving and working and going off to school and getting married and all of these things. And so when they come to that time period in that life, you know, we still have a lot of toys all over the house, but they're not Noah's and Abigail's. They're Chloe's. Noah and Abigail looks more like an adult than they ever have before. You can sit around and talk to them. They don't want to get on our lap no more. They can sit still for more than 10 minutes at a time. I mean, there's a lot of good benefits to these young people growing up and becoming mature. Thank God that's what we want them to do. But it's a dangerous time period in their life. Now, the only way that you can really tell a young eagle from an older eagle is that older eagle has a golden crown. It's different on its head. And some people that study eagles, they also say that you can look into their eyes, and if you know enough about eagles, you'll be able to tell an old one from a younger one by looking in its eyes. There's just something different about them. And a golden eagle I'm talking about, when it's mature, it gets a golden crown upon its head. I remember when we were in Idaho pastoring, and there's a young man in the church, and I was talking to him the other day. And he told me, he said, Pastor Greer, that's what they call me. He said, I remember when you were in Idaho, he said, and I was just a young kid. He said, and now I have two children of my own. He said, that's hard to believe. But his name is Nick, and we used to pick, and he's a real blessing, a young person in the church. And he came to me one time, and he said, Pastor, I want you to tell me what this verse means. And he said, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 29. He said, explain that to me. And I turned over to it and I looked at it, and here's what it says. It says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. And I had started to turn gray headed even then. And he was poking fun at me when he asked me what that means. Now, what's that mean, preacher? The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. And I looked at him, and I could tell he was picking at me because I was beginning to turn gray-headed at that time. And I looked at him, and I said, well, Brother Nick, that means I've got the best of both worlds. And I got the best of him, I think, in saying that. But I was saying I'm still young and looking old all at the same time, but I was early 30s then, and now I'm early 40s. That's been 10 or 12 years ago now. So he asked me about that. But the young eagle, it's strong, it can fly, it can hunt, it can live in a nest all by itself. And the juvenile will be a juvenile from about 1 to 3 years old. And in that 1 to 3 year old time period, it will live very near its parents. If it does not live in the nest, it'll live very near its parents. And during that time when it's a juvenile, it's very safe. As long as it's living next to mom and daddy. You know what I used to say when my children were little? I would tell them, I'd say, now when you get older, we're going to break your plate and kick you out of the house. And you're going to have to go on and you know, make a life for yourself. But you know, now that they're older, I don't say much about that anymore. I don't want them to leave until they're ready to leave. I don't want them to leave before they're ready to leave. Because I realize now what a dangerous time that is in a person's life, as well as in the young eagle's life. Looks can be very, very deceptive. Somebody can look all grown up, but it doesn't mean that they're mature. The deception of the eagle, it can look like it's ready to go, but if it's really not ready to go, it's probably not going to make it. And so there's the deception of the eagle. And so we're talking about young people this morning. You might look all grown up, young person, but that doesn't mean you're all grown up. There's a difference between being just grown and being mature. Mature is a wonderful thing. We want all of our young people to become mature in the Lord and in their lives as well. So there's the deception of the young eagle. And second of all this morning, there's the danger of the young eagle. Now, the danger is not being a juvenile. Because as long as it lives next to mom and daddy, it's going to be all right. Because they're going to watch out after that young eagle. But the danger of the young eagle comes at the first time it's separated from home. When it leaves mom and daddy, that's where the danger is. When it goes out on its own, and the young eagle goes out on its own for one of three reasons. It will migrate. You know, eagles migrate. I didn't know that for a long time, but they do. They migrate and go south just like a duck or a goose or something like that. But they'll migrate. They'll leave home. They will look for a mate. and they'll leave home. And eagles are interesting. They mate for life. They'll find a wife and they'll stay unless one of them dies. And if one of them dies, they'll go and look for another mate. But they mate for life. And when they look for a mate, they'll leave home. Or when they go to college, they'll leave home. You know, they leave. They separate from their parents. 1 in 8 young eagles will die during that first separation. That's not pretty good odds. I bet you among young people it's more than that. Spiritually speaking. That leave home, that go away to work or get married or college, leave mom and dad, leave church. Spiritually speaking, today in America, there's a lot of people that are brought up in church that when they leave, they never come back. It's more than 1 in 8, I'm sure that it is. It's a very dangerous time when they first separate from their parents. I've thought a whole lot about, boy, it's just the grace of God that I think about Kim and I think about our lives and how we started out. I got married when I was 18. In fact, all in 1 year, I joined the Air Force. I graduated from high school. I got engaged. I went to basic training. I called my wife in October of that year, or maybe early December. And I said, if you still want to get married, we need to hurry up and get married because I've got orders to go to England. I'm going to leave the country in less than a month. All of that happened in 1 year and then went to the country of England. You talk about, I'd never even lived outside of my parents' home. And all of a sudden, within 1 year, I'm on my own. I'm in a foreign country. I'm married. You talk about temptation. It's just something when you leave home and you look around and your mom and dad's not there to tell you what to do, take you to church. It's an eye-opener. And if you're not ready for it, it'll do you more harm than good. A lot of people say, oh, I can't wait to leave home. You better not leave till you're ready to leave. And so, I think about that time period in our lives and I'll just say this for all of us this morning. As a Christian, anytime there is a major change takes place in your life, that's a prime opportunity for the devil to trip you up. Anytime anything major happens in your life, you better watch out. I don't care if it's even retirement. Any major event, your spouse passing away, sickness coming, changing jobs, moving to another place. Anytime something major comes up in our lives, the devil, if you're living for God and trying to do what's right, the devil will take that and he'll try to trip you up. You get in a new place, around new people. You have different circumstances in your life. Do you know when the devil tried to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ was right before a major shift in his life from private to a public ministry. Satan came along and tried to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ before Jesus stepped out into his public ministry. He tried to trip him up. That happened. There's a major thing getting ready to take place in his life. So all of us need to watch out when major things come up in our lives. And moving away from our parents is a major thing in our life. Now, there are two main reasons why 1 in 8 young eagles die. Number one, they'll starve to death. Number two, they can't find shelter from the elements. They'll either starve to death or they'll freeze to death if they're not somewhere where it's warm. The elements will destroy them. One day, you young people, when you get a little bit older, you'll look back on your life and you'll say, boy, it was easy to live a Christian life when I lived at home. Mom and Dad took me to church. Sit down to have a meal. Mom and Dad, somebody'd say, we need to pray. You had rules. You had boundaries that you had to live by what they said. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. As long as my children live at home, I expect them to go to church. I expect them to live right. I expect them to do right. I expect them, when we get ready to go to bed, we come together. We're all going to pray together if we're all there at the same time. That's the way it ought to be. But when you get out on your own, you're going to find out nobody's going to make you go to church. Nobody's going to make you read your Bible. Nobody's going to make you pray over your meals. Nobody's going to give you boundaries, and that you're going to have a lot more freedom than you have right now. You need to be ready for it. That's going to be the real test of your spiritual reality. I mean, if your spirituality is real, it's going to be tested when you have freedom. You wake up like I did the first day I got in England. First Sunday morning. I woke up, flew all night long. I didn't even really know what day it was. It just, you know, there's like a 6 or 7 hour time change. And I woke up that first Sunday and it was 11 or 12 o'clock in the morning. And I asked the fellow they put me in a room with. I said, "What time is it?" And he said, "Well, it's 11 o'clock. Boy, I didn't realize I'd slept that long. I knew I'd miss church. I really did. I thought about that. But you know what? That next Sunday, I was at the chapel. I knew enough. And I wasn't nowhere near being right with God, but I knew I needed to be in church. And I found a church to go to, and I thank God for that. But the real test of your spirituality is going to be when you get out on your own. And you've got freedom to make your own choices and make your own friends and where or if you're going to go to church and who you're going to marry and what convictions you're going to have. That's going to be the real test in your life. I love the book of Proverbs. And Solomon, over and over again, the book of Proverbs is Solomon's how-to book for his children. Son, daughter, here's what y'all to do. Here's what you're going to come up against. Over and over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words." Chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, forget not my law." Chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father." How many times do we as parents say, "Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you." But you know how it is as a young person, they don't want to listen a lot of times. You better listen. One day you're going to get somewhere where you say, "Oh, I wish I could ask Mama. Wish I could ask Daddy what I ought to do." You better listen. Maybe they're telling you right now what you need to know out there in the future somewhere. Chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not." I don't know anybody that doesn't have a problem with remembering things. But there's some things you better write down. If you have trouble remembering, write it down. Forget it not. That's what Solomon was saying to his children. And one of these days, now you young people, you may say, I'm tired of this. Tired of this. I want to have my own place. I want to have my own life. But I'll tell you, I promise you, one of these days you're going to get the opportunity to live your own life. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that freedom? What are you going to do with them opportunities to make your own choices? Well, you're going to get the opportunity. It'll come real quick. You think it's not going to come real quick, but I promise you, you look forward, "Oh, I can't wait till I'm 16 to get my driver's license." You think it's never going to come. Well, it does, and you get your driver's license, and after a while, you don't even want to drive no more. You'd rather be, that's done wore off. Then you say, "Oh, I wish I'd turn 18, graduate from high school." Well, you think it's never going to come, but it does. You say, "Oh, I wish I'd turn 21, I can be 21, whatever the big deal. I hope it's not so you can drink." A lot of people want to turn 21, but I'm telling you, after 21, there's nothing else to look forward to. Work, life, bills, unless you know the Lord. But you get to the place where you don't look forward to the next thing in life. It just happens so quickly. And you look around, you say, how'd I get to be 20 years old? How'd I get to be 30 years old? How'd I get to be 40, 50, 60? This flies by. But you'll get the opportunity to put it into practice. What are you going to do with what your preacher and your mom and daddy and your Sunday school teachers have taught you all these years? There's a danger. There's a danger. You better listen. You better apply what you've been told. And last of all this morning, there's the decision of the young eagle. Now, two things are necessary for this eagle to survive. Now, the danger is that he'll starve and not find shelter from the elements. So he needs to learn two things, or have two things in order to survive. Number one, he has to learn to feed himself. You know, I was saying about what I was going to preach this morning. It's the last Sunday of the year. I'm thinking as a pastor, what could I preach to my people that would help them in the year ahead? Now, if you say, boy, I'm going to lose 10 pounds, you're defeated before you started. I mean, you might. I might, but I didn't last year. So I don't have real high hopes, you know. But that's how we are. Well, I'm going to make a new resolution. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get organized. Boy, I'd love to get organized. But I just don't know that it's in my genes to be organized. But anyway, you know, like to do this, like to do that. Let me tell you what will help you more than anything else. Get in God's book. That'll help you all year long. Learn to feed yourself. Read something from the Word of God every day. Meditate upon something from the Word of God every day. Them young eagles, they die because they don't know how to feed themselves. You young people, you old people, you people in the middle, you need to learn how to feed yourself. If you're living off of what you just get Sunday morning or Wednesday night, that's not enough. You wouldn't do that physically. You want to go have lunch after service this morning? Everybody say yes. Praise the Lord, I'm for eating. Nobody would say, no, I'm good till Wednesday. I had breakfast. I don't need anything till Wednesday. But people do that spiritually. You need to learn to feed yourself. Get in the Word of God. Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them. You need to learn to eat from the Word of God. God told Joshua if he's going to be successful, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from thee. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and then thou shalt have good success. You want to be successful? Oh, everybody wants to be successful. What do you want to be? I want to be successful. Get in the Word of God, you'll have good success. You may not become a millionaire, but you'll be successful if you'll get in the Word of God. Psalms 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Read the Word of God. Do what it says. You'll learn to feed yourself. I grew up. I was singing about this yesterday. I grew up. I knew the Bible stories from a child. Thank God for that. I don't ever remember not knowing about David and Goliath. I knew about Jesus feeding the multitudes. I knew about David slaying the lion and a bear. I knew the Bible stories. I'd learned them in Sunday school. I learned them growing up. But I never really remember learning anything for myself until I was about 18, 19, 20 years old, and I began to get into the Word of God. Boy, how that changed my life during that dangerous time period. If Kim and I hadn't have got in church when we did, I bet we wouldn't even be together. We wouldn't have just had a 25-year anniversary. We'd have split. I'd have been in jail. She'd have been there's no telling. But thank God we learned to feed ourselves. Get in the Word of God and it changed your life. It'll help you, young people. It'll help all of us. That's what it means in verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You ever get weary? You ever get tired? You need to learn to wait upon the Lord. Get God's book on your lap and get something out of it that'll help you. Help you get through the week. Help you get through the days and the times of your life where you don't know what you're going to do and you need guidance and direction. I'll tell you, I've been eating on something for a week now. And it's been such a blessing to me. I'd never noticed it before, but Psalms 113 verse 3, it said this, "From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." I found that a little over a week ago, and I've eaten on that for about 10 days. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord's to be praised. And that's just helped me. It's something I've not preached on it. I've not done anything about it, but I've just thought and thought about that when the sun comes up in the morning until the sun goes down in the evening. I need to praise the Lord. Boy, that's helped me. Feed yourself. Second of all and last of all this morning, the decision of the young eagle. Now, this is something you've got to decide. I'm going to feed myself. And then second of all, there's the fellowship with the saints. Talking about staying in a good church. Underline, a good church. Everybody that goes to church doesn't go to a good church. I hate to say that, but it's truth. Everybody that goes to church doesn't go to a church that preaches the gospel or even believes the gospel. Stay in a good church where you get a steady diet from the Word of God. Paul told the people on the ship that was wrecked in the storm, he said, Acts 27:31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." They wanted to jump ship. That ship is the type of the church. And he said, if you don't stay in the ship, you can't be saved. There's a harsh element out there. The world out there. You ain't going to make it if you don't stay in the ship. You better stay in the ship. They all stayed in the ship. And they all made it safe to land. The Bible said, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. A lot of young people go away from their parents. And they get out where they don't go to church. And they get out of going to church. And they never go back to church. But you need the fellowship of the saints. You need to be around God's people all throughout your life. You'll not be sorry. There's a harsh environment out there. When Brother Myers came and preached two Wednesday nights ago. And he told about going to England. Well, I sat right there and I wept. I went for joy in my heart because I thought about his testimony is so much like my testimony. And I sat there and I heard him talk about, and I knew what he's going to tell. I knew that he was going to tell that he met somebody and they witnessed to him and he got saved, because that's the type of church that was. There's a lot of people in that church tried to win people to God. And I knew what was going to happen. It's like a real good story. And I could just see what was getting ready to happen. And I thought, well, my testimony's like that. I didn't get saved over there, but somebody invited me to church. And I sat there and I thought, I thank God for that church. I thank God for that pastor that encouraged me to read a chapter out of the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms every day of my life and encouraged me to get in the Word of God. What a difference it made in my life. Praise the Lord for that. You know, the Bible said in Proverbs 22 and verse number 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it." Well, that ought to be some encouragement for us that are parents. And we have children and grandchildren. Train them up in the ways of the Lord. I'm glad that when I got out on my own, I knew to go to church. Somebody taught me that. Somebody taught me that. Praise God for that. Parents, I'll tell you, that's why I'm gray-headed. I didn't have gray hair before I had children. They're giving me gray hair. No, I've got good youngins, and I thank God for it. But I'll tell you, you talk about, I thought when they were small that it was stressful. But now I think about them getting out on their own. I don't think you'll ever get out from under that burden of worrying about your children, thinking about your children, wanting your children to do right. Makes me want to raise them right and be a good example. live in front of them so they'll know what to do when they get out on their own. It's a big responsibility. But the Bible said there, and I'm closing this morning, even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But you notice there, that's not a period. It goes on. And it says, but they that wait upon the Lord. Boy, if you'll learn to wait upon the Lord and feed yourself. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And I was thinking about that, and I am closing this morning. But I was meditating upon that, thinking about that. And you know, that doesn't mean we're going to sprout wings and fly. Because we don't sprout wings and fly. But the Word of God says that they shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know what? When you think about being free, you think about an eagle. I don't think there's a creature in the world more free than an eagle. God wants us to be free. And God wants us to have strength to walk and run and not be weary, as the Word of God says. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God doesn't want you to faint. God doesn't want you to fall. God wants you to have strength and freedom to live and be what He'd have you to be. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.